Christmas. Well, question to ask is, when was the last time you just sat quiet? Just sat quietly and pondered maybe the mysteries of life, the reality of God. Quietness is kind of a hard commodity to come by, I think, in the holiday season that we kind of run through in our culture. Because we're not very good, especially as Westerners, to embody what the psalmists tell us when they say, "Be still and know that I am God." Margaret Feinberg, who's a Christian author and speaker, when she talks about prayer, she says, "How often have I rattled on with God and said nothing at all, relying on cliches and throwaway phrases and high language I'd never use in everyday conversation. I took prayer for granted and lost sight of the wondrous opportunity to draw closer to my God." See, and then we add the holiday season on top of our normal busy lives, and we go not just to busyness, but hecticness. We kind of rush through Advent, don't we? We rush through because we need to get to Christmas Day, because that's the important day, right? That's when we get the presents. You know, unfortunately, it's also sometimes when we have to deal with family, and we don't really want to get there, but we want to get to the presents. And yeah, I guess we try to fit in church if it's convenient, you know. But, you know, do we really contemplate what's happened on Christmas Day? Do we contemplate what God has truly done and is doing? And this Christmas Eve falling on a Sunday, you know, some people thought, "Hey, well, I'll go to church in the morning and then have the whole day and don't have to come back." I did tell them, though, it was actually technically Advent 4, so it didn't count for a Christmas service. Though there were some, and there are many, that came to the early service, and the poor choir has been here for all three, so, you know, got to give them a few prayers. What is it that we're pondering, though? What is it that Mary pondered, or we should be pondering about? Well, I did a little internet search on contemplation, you know, and pondering, and pretty much everything it came up with was just lists of questions. Some of them were quite humorous. Some were actually pretty serious and good to think about. So I'm going to share some of them with you. I mean, the humorous ones are kind of the ones, you know, things that make you go, When does it stop being partly cloudy and start being partly sunny? Maybe it's a pessimist, optimist thing. I don't know. If a kid refuses to sleep during nap time, are they guilty of resisting a rest? Yeah, that one. Okay, now here, if you are bald, what color, hair color, do you put on your driver's license?
You're looking at me, right?
There you go. Just asking. Now here's the good one. If God sneezes, what do you say to him? Yeah, it took you a little while, like, what? Oh. But there are some that I think we should ponder, even on this Christmas Eve. If you were going to die tomorrow, what would you do today? If you had the opportunity to be different, what would you change about yourself? And if you could change one thing, just one thing in this world, what would it be? And if you could say one sentence which the whole world would hear, what would you tell them? When I was contemplating on that last question, what came to mind for me was the declaration of the angels to the shepherds. "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." I mean, it's an amazing announcement. An announcement that literally changed the fate of the entire world. I mean, have we truly pondered how momentous that was? How incredible of what happened that night? God's inbreaking and the implications for what that means to us today? Or are we too busy running around, buying our last-minute presents, decorating homes and trees, dealing with family? Too busy in order to stop. Just stop. And like Mary, treasure all these words in our hearts. To ponder all these events. See, sadly, I think many of us fall into what psychologists have coined as FOMO, fear of missing out. It's said that so much of our lives is embedded in the social media that we are increasingly afraid of missing out, of losing touch, of not kind of getting to do everything that other people are doing. That, well, what if they're going over here and having a great time and I miss out? I don't get there. I lose our cool, lose our edge. And the fear, unfortunately, goes to the very core of our human consciousness, playing into our inbuilt kind of survival drives. And in some people, the mental health consequences of FOMO can lead to anxiety and depression. In fact, a recent University of Essex study observed that those whose psychological needs were deprived, particularly those needs for competence, autonomy, and relatedness, were likely to have a higher level of FOMO. And yet, strangely, when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to our relationship with our Lord, do we have that same sense of FOMO? Do we fear what we're missing out with our Lord? But see, when we think of contemplation and thinking of being contemplative, usually we think of monks in a monastery, very sequestered from reality. And yet Mary was anything but passive in her contemplation. Meister Eckhart, who is a 13th century theologian, says, "What we plant in the soil of contemplation, we shall reap in the harvest of action." N.T. Wright explains it this way. Mary's contemplation of the divine presence in her life was anything but passive or complacent. While she pondered all things in her heart, she also carried the good news of the incarnation to others. By first pondering all things in her heart, Mary was then able to open others up to the encounter of the mysteries of divine love, as she did at the wedding of Canaan. Mary teaches us to seek the face of Christ in all facets of life, whether in the radiant light of joyous moments, or even in the darkness of sorrow and death, even in the midst of our astonishment or our confusion, to continue open ourselves to the profound trust by pondering all things in our hearts. So I want to encourage you, encourage myself as we enter again Christmas Eve and into Christmas Day. Stop the hurried pace. Telling you, if the gift isn't perfectly wrapped, you know what? They're still going to enjoy it. You know what? If dinner doesn't get on the table at exactly the right moment, it's still going to probably taste good. We need to slow the frantic speed that we live at and ponder anew the Christ child that we worship tonight. Let us contemplate on the most incredible gift that we have ever been given. That incredible gift of salvation through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who was born this night so many years ago, and yet who we eagerly await to return in order to make all things new. And then may we too, like Mary, bring that good news of great joy to those who might not have yet heard it or received it. So let us leave here tonight just as the shepherds did that first Christmas morning, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Amen.
Amen.